we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Welcome to the BCP podcast. I am James, aka BCP, Black Conservative Patriot. Big hug to all of y'all. I am totally messed up when it comes to time zones and what have you. Flew back from Europe, about 12 hours ago. The previous report I did, I was just raring to go. Want to talk about President Trump's great reception in Harlem, where I was born and lived the essentially the first half of my childhood before relocating and growing up and becoming essentially a Californian in all of the positive things of California. And then I went to bed for like 4 hours and I woke up and I feel like I've got a full night's sleep. I mean, I did sleep about 6 hours on that 11-hour flight from London to Los Angeles. So I just feel well-rested. And there's so much I want to cover. Now, yesterday, Tuesday, April 16th, was a great day for President Trump and for our J6, January 6th political prisoners. It pains me, the political prisoner situation we have with our J6ers. During my travels over the last couple months, I found myself looking into the deep, evil heart of communism. One of the places that I went to was Bunk Art 2. And this is a museum in Tirana, Albania, that details the horrors, the absolute horrors of communism. And torture of political prisoners is seen in this bunker that was built for, you know, a nuclear strike. And it's detailed there how the prisoners were treated, or I should say mistreated, and what they had to go through. And unfortunately, we're seeing that in 2024. We saw it in 2023. We saw it in 2022 and 2021 by this illegitimate, false regime of Joseph Biden and his handlers and controllers, the guy is not in charge, and how they are absolutely torturing our J6 prisoners. And they're trying to throw them in jail for protesting. For protesting. Now, let me tell you what we're going to cover here. We're going to cover what happened yesterday. Something very important happened yesterday in the Supreme Court. Now, in a lead up to this, this is how CNN reported this. Going right before the trial yesterday morning at 5 a.m. January 6th rioters want the Supreme Court to let them off the hook from obstruction charge. The Supreme Court heard arguments Tuesday from a former Pennsylvania police officer who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Yeah, he stormed the Capitol. By the way, you're going to see here that he was less than 25 feet into the Capitol and didn't spend much time there. I don't know about storming the Capitol. This wasn't Normandy. This wasn't the beaches of Normandy. In a case that could undermine federal charges against more than 350 rioters. The court's decision could also have significant ramifications for President Donald Trump, who is charged with the same criminal offense. Special Counsel Jack Smith charged Trump with violating a federal law enacted in 2002 that prohibits people from obstructing an official proceeding. Prosecutors filed that same charge against hundreds of rioters, such as a so-called QAnon shaman, who climbed the Senate chamber in horned headdress, and the leader of the Oath Keepers, who has championed a bloody civil war in the weeks before the riot. The charge can add up to 20 years to a prison sentence. Now, the Supreme Court will consider whether the prosecutor's interpretation of the law can be used against the rioters and whether the convictions already secured will stick. Trump will almost certainly use a decision against the government to fuel criticism he has directed at prosecutors as he tries to reframe the January 6th attack on the Capitol as a beautiful day. And that means the stakes are not only high for Trump and the January 6th defendants, but also the Justice Department. Now, that's how it was framed by the commie bastards over at CNN. So let me get you a little bit more specifics on the defendant and the United States government attorney in this case. And then I'm going to show you the line of questioning from the great Clarence Thomas of the Supreme Court and Gorsuch as well. And you can see why so far this is very positive. And then, of course, unfortunately, I'm also going to show you what is happening to our J6 prisoners right now, playing you a voicemail from Mr. Lang, who is being tortured while all of this is going down. So what we have here is the case of a former Pennsylvania police officer, Joseph Fisher, who was a participant in the protests on January 6, 2021. He is the person who's brought this case before the Supreme Court. Now, as I stated previously, his lawyer pointed out that he was inside the Capitol building for less than 4 minutes, and he advanced fewer than 25 feet. Now, the DOJ prosecutor are arguing that Fisher warned his police chief that things might get violent, and he texted that protesters should drag Democrats in the streets and have a mob trial. So when I play the audio, you're going to hear that they're arguing intent. A grand jury returned a 7-count indictment against Fisher back in March of 2021, just 2 months after the attack. The indictment included charges of civil disorder, assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers, as well as the obstruction charge, and he faces at least 20 years in prison because of this. Now, yesterday, they heard the oral arguments, and at issue is Statute 18 of the U.S. Code, which reads, "Whoever corruptly alters, destroys, mutilates, or conceals a record document or other object, or attempts to do so with the intent to impair the object's integrity or availability for use in official proceeding, or two, otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding, or attempts to do so, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years, or both." Now, I'm going to edit out the arguments they had over, and the clarifications they had over what they call C1, which is this part of the statute that talks about altering records, because that's not what's at issue here. And there is some legal maneuvering that goes back and forth, or legal clarifications and arguments that have to do with that. But that's not what's being argued here. What they're really arguing here, the DOJ, the corrupt Department of Injustice under the commie bastard known as Merrick Garland, and of course Jack Smith and all these people bringing on this ridiculous case, is they're saying that Fisher, along with 350 plus other people, tried to obstruct, influence, or impede an official proceeding. And because of this, and because of their intent to impede the official proceeding, they should be in jail for 20 years and be fined. But luckily, we have Gorsuch and Clarence Thomas. So this is what I want to get into. Let's start off with Clarence Thomas. And he grilled the DOJ lawyer on this obstruction statute. You're going to hear the voice of DOJ Solicitor General Elizabeth Preliger. And she goes on and on about how the government is trying to fairly use the second part of the statute to prosecute hundreds of J6 defendants who merely protested that day. But of course, she's going to paint it as a terrible act of trying to stop you've heard this before, the peaceful transition of power. All right, so now we all have the basics of what's going on here, let's get into the great Justice Thomas.
Thank you. General Prelogger?
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. On January 6, 2021, a violent mob stormed the United States Capitol and disrupted the peaceful transition of power. Many crimes occurred that day, but in plain English, the fundamental wrong committed by many of the rioters, including petitioner, was a deliberate attempt to stop the joint session of Congress from certifying the results of the election. That is, they obstructed Congress's work in that official proceeding. The government accordingly charged petitioner with violating Section 1512(c)(2), an obstruction offense that directly reads onto his conduct. The case as it comes to this court presents a straightforward question of statutory interpretation. Did petitioner obstruct, influence, or impede the joint session of Congress? The answer is equally straightforward. Yes, he obstructed that official proceeding. The terms of the statute unambiguously encompass his conduct.
4 minutes in the Capitol. Only advanced less than 25 feet, but he is guilty and should have 20 years for obstructing an official proceeding. You can almost hear Ms. Prelogger foam and the whole DOJ foaming at the mouth, trying to get at MAGA Republicans, trying to get at J6 protesters, trying to get at anyone that is pushing back on this fake regime and the stolen election of 2020.
Section 1512(c)(2), by its terms, is not limited to evidence impairment. Instead, it's a classic catch-all. C1 covers specified acts that obstruct an official proceeding, and C2 covers all other acts that obstruct an official proceeding in a different manner. The court should say so and allow this case to proceed to trial.
So the DOJ wants the Supreme Court to agree, yeah, these people were guilty of obstruction, they intended to do so. Let us go to trial and let us bury these protesting Americans practicing their First Amendment rights. Now, we've talked about, and others have talked about, the very obvious two-tier situation here, where there have been leftist protests, more violent and out of control, that have stopped proceedings, whether in Congress or at courts or hearings or trials, and nothing has happened to them. And of course, this is something that we're going to hear from both Clarence Thomas, the great Supreme Court Justice, as well as Neil Gorsuch. Let's start off with Clarence Thomas, who is the first to question the DOJ solicitor, Ms. Elizabeth Prelogar, on this.
The court should say so and allow this case to proceed to trial. I welcome the court's questions.
General, there have been many violent protests that have interfered with proceedings. Has the government applied this provision to other protests in the past? And has this been the government's position throughout the lifespan of the statute?
All right, this is a very important line of questioning. The government is trying to make the argument, Clarence Thomas is saying, before the Supreme Court, that this is an egregious thing that deserves fines and 20 years imprisonment. Is this a new interpretation of the law, or has this always been the Department of Justice's stance that everyone who protests should be imprisoned for 20 years for protesting under this idea of impeding an official proceeding? So, you're going to see here Clarence Thomas kind of tease it up, but it's Gorsuch who's going to knock it out the park.
It has certainly been the government's position since the enactment of 1512(c)(2) that it covers the myriad forms of obstructing an official proceeding.
Have you enforced it in that manner?
We have enforced it in a variety of prosecutions. Now, I can't give you an example of enforcing it in a situation where people have violently stormed a building in order to prevent an official proceeding, a specified one, from occurring, with all of the elements like intent to obstruct, knowledge of the proceeding, having the corruptly mens rea, but that's just because I'm not aware of that circumstance ever happening prior to January 6th.
In short, the answer is no. There have never been all the elements like January 6th, so we're now using it at the Department of Justice. Obviously, this is lawfare against conservatives and anyone trying to fight against an illegitimate regime. and Neil Gorsuch is not having it.
If I might, what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
Bravo, bravo. That is the great Justice Neil Gorsuch, Trump-appointed U.S. Supreme Court Justice, nuking the illegitimate Biden regime's Department of Justice over the January 6th sentence. He points out four times where there have been folks who have obstructed a congressional proceeding and did not only not receive a 20-year sentence, the DOJ didn't even seek anything, any sort of fine or imprisonment for these acts. So he talks about first, he mentions sitting in. He's talking about the, what he's referring to here are the Kavanaugh protests, where there were sit-ins at the trial, sit-ins at a trial of the Kavanaugh protests. The second thing he mentions, pulling a fire alarm, that's Representative Bowman. The third thing, hecklers in the crowd. Remember when all the Palestinian, pro-Palestinian people bum-rushed the Capitol and have obstructed proceedings and votes over that? And of course, the mostly peaceful protests of Black Lives Matter. Once again, the genius of Justice Neil Gorsuch not falling for this. Asking the DOJ, hey, have you gone after people who have obviously obstructed congressional proceedings, have had intent to obstruct congressional proceedings, or is this something new only being carved out for January 6th defendants? And by extension, let's not forget that they are going after President Trump with this same statute. So if this falls apart and the Supreme Court destroys this, that goes against what Jack Smith is trying to do. And by the way, Jack Smith has already hinted that even if the Supreme Court throws this out, he's still going to move forward with it. These bastards aren't even trying to hide their animus. They don't care about the rule of law. They're barely even putting on any pretense that they do.
If I might, what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
There are multiple elements of the statute that I think might not be satisfied by those hypotheticals, and it relates to the point I was going to make to the Chief Justice about the breadth of this statute. The kind of built-in limitations are the things that I think would potentially suggest that many of those things wouldn't be something the government could charge or prove as 1512C2 beyond a reasonable doubt, would include the fact that the actus reus does require obstruction, which we understand to be a meaningful interference.
In other words, no. It has to be a meaningful interference. So it's not just breaking the law. It has to be a meaningful breaking of the law. In other words, an exposure of the fake president, Joe Biden, of the stealing the election of 2020, support for President Trump, support for the true winner of the 2020 election. She's not even trying to hide her bias. All leftists, operatives are fine. Whether they're people sitting in at the Kavanaugh hearings, whether they're pulling fire alarms like Representative Bowman, whether they're heckling and they're pro-Palestinian, or whether they are violent leftists, BLMers. Because if they're on one side, it's okay. But if on the other side, oh, it's meaningful. And therefore, we have to go after them. I kid you not, folks. I'm playing you the recording. This is how it went down yesterday.
So that means that if you have some minor disruption or delay or some minimal outburst, okay, we don't think it falls within the actus reus.
My outbursts
to begin
require
with.
The court to reconvene after the proceeding has been brought back into line, or the pulling of the fire alarm, the vote has to be rescheduled, or the protest outside of a courthouse makes it inaccessible for a period of time. Are those all federal felonies subject to 20 years in prison?
So with some of them, it would be necessary to show nexus. So with respect to the protest outside the courthouse, we'd have to show that, yes, they were aiming at the proceeding.
Yeah, they were trying to stop the proceeding.
Yes, and then we'd also have to be able to prove that they acted corruptly. And this sets a stringent mens rea. It's not even just the mere intent to obstruct. We have to show that also, but we have to show that they had corrupt intent in acting in that way.
Ms. Prolegar here is not stupid. She knows exactly what Neil Gorsuch is asking her. Justice Neil Gorsuch. Excuse me, I don't want to be disrespectful to a Supreme Court justice. And she's making the case that the J6ers are worse than all the other things that he mentioned. So she first argues that it must be intent, that that's fine. But then now she's adding all these other layers, which excuses everyone else except for the J6ers. And Gorsuch isn't having it. He's clearly saying, look, in all of these other instances, hearings were delayed, had to be rescheduled, other things happened. It's the same thing as the January 6ers. But how come these things don't count? Obviously, the bias is very obvious. And Ms. Prolegar here is just saying what she needs to say so that she can move on. Hope that the Supreme Court will see her way and they can go after January 6ers for 20 years. But everyone else that Neil Gorsuch just mentioned, well, it's not as, those aren't as bad as what the J6ers did. Absolutely freaking incredible. The chutzpah, the brass pair of this illegitimate Department of Justice and their argument before the Supreme Court why these people, the J6ers, should get 20 years in prison and every other leftist bastard who does the same exact thing gets to slide.
We went around that tree yesterday.
I heard the argument yesterday, but I guess what I would say is that to the extent that your hypotheticals are pressing on the idea of a peaceful protest, even one that's quite disruptive, it's not clear to me that the government would be able to show that each of
those
protesters had corrupt intent.
So mostly peaceful protest that actually obstructs and impedes and an official proceeding for an indefinite period would not be covered?
Not necessarily. We would just have to have the evidence of intent. And that's a high bar.
They intend to do it, all right.
Those are peaceful protests. Those are okay. January 6th was a peaceful protest. The violence came from the police officers and the operatives. So you heard the arguments there from Ms. Prolegar. You heard the pushback from, or the line of questioning from Neil Gorsuch and Clarence Thomas. They're obviously pointing out the two-tier system here. Let's see where this goes. All right. This next one really breaks my heart. And this has to do with a voicemail left by J6 political prisoner Jake Lang, who is now celebrating his third or fourth birthday of not being tried and being tortured as a political prisoner in the United States. Once again, bravo to the Hoffs and the Gateway Pundit, who along with us here at the BCP podcast have not forgotten our January 6th protesters. Don't even want to put myself on the same level as the Gateway Pundit, who have been fighting hard for our J6ers. The calendar seems to melt away. Over 3 years ago, J6 political prisoner Jake Lang was arrested by the Biden regime. Jake was identified from his social media and arrested on January 16, 2021, and remains incarcerated without bail or trial for over 3 years now. On January 6, 2021, Jake attended the protest and rally in D.C. because he believed the election was stolen from Donald Trump. Jake was one of over 1 million Trump supporters who turned out that day to hear President Trump speak at the Ellipse in D.C. Later that day, Jake walked to the U.S. Capitol, where he was gassed and trampled when Capitol Police pushed Trump supporters down the stairs. Jake was nearly killed when he was buried under a sea of bodies as U.S. Capitol Police continued to push Trump supporters down the stairs on top of him. Jake was able to crawl out from under the pile. He then saw that Trump supporter Philip Anderson was knocked out and being smothered under the pile of protesters, so he pulled Philip to safety and saved his life. Jake and others were there when Roseanne Boylan was killed that day. Roseanne was pushed down by police, trampled, and then beaten with a police stick by Officer Lila Morris. Roseanne died on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. 2 weeks ago, General Michael Flynn and the Gateway pundits Jim Hoft held a Twitter space for Jake Lang, who is celebrating his fourth birthday in prison. Jake has not yet been tried in a D.C. kangaroo court for his actions that day. Now, of course, we are fans of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. I've seen a couple of your comments questioning the patriotism of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. And once again, I have no problem disagreeing with my audience or having my audience disagree with me. But that one really escapes me, questioning the patriotism and Michael Flynn being on the right side of most things. But once again, I am a fan of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. So this is what happened. After they had this Twitter space, Jake Lang called in to this Twitter space, this online live event hosted via Twitter. Jake was removed from his cell in the Brooklyn Metropolitan Detention Center and placed in isolation. No one had heard from Jake Lang since then. But Monday afternoon, Jake Lang left the following voicemail on Jim Hoff's phone. Folks, listen to this. Jake Lang is going to detail how he is being tortured in this Brooklyn prison. This is gut-wrenching.
Hey, Jim Hoff, Jake Lang. Oh, man, this is horrific. This is the most grotesque and inhumane conditions of confinement I have ever had to suffer under. Brooklyn MDC Federal Prison has retaliated against me and tossed me into solitary confinement for exercising my First Amendment right in that beautiful birthday, my fourth birthday in prison with General Flynn and yourself. We had thousands of people listening live, and they have now stripped me of my First Amendment rights. I was able to get one phone call out in 30 days, and now I'm able to call through a legal line my lawyer set up. So I'm making a plea to the American people. They are torturing January 6ers. They're torturing prisoners inside Brooklyn Federal Prison. I've been wearing the same pair of underwear for a week, shirt, socks. They have completely denied any entertainment whatsoever. No books, no radio, no phone calls home. I'm just in a bleak, desolate prison cell, separated completely from society. They tried to unperson me. They tried to make me not into a being and strip me of all my constitutional and God-given rights. And this is an aberration of justice that cannot stand. Please call Brooklyn MDC and complain about Edward Jacob Lang being held in solitary confinement for doing virtually nothing wrong. Thank you, Jim. God bless you. God bless you. We love it. Please call.
Heart-wrenching that this is happening in America. It appears that Jake Lang hasn't lost it, is keeping his composure and some bit of positivity, which is a miracle in and of itself. And he should be applauded for that. But let's look at the specifics here. The specifics of what he said is going on. He is under grotesque and inhumane conditions of solitary confinement for doing this Twitter space and practicing his First Amendment right. He has not been made a phone call in 30 days. And he is able to leave this message because of a legal line that his lawyer set up. He is being stripped of his rights, of his First Amendment rights, and being punished. He's being punished for practicing his First Amendment rights, folks. He is wearing his same pair of underwear for a week, shirt and socks. He can't have access to books, no phone calls home, and he's in a bleak, desolate prison cell, separated completely from society. We are human beings, We are social beings, and one of the highest forms of torture is cutting off a human being from contact with other humans. And that's what they're doing to Jake Lang for being on this Twitter space with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn and Jim Hoft to talk about what's going on to these political prisoners. He says they are trying to unperson him and make him a non-person, by stripping him of all his constitutional and, most importantly, God-given rights. He says this is an aberration of justice that cannot stand. All of these things happening in the Brooklyn MDC because, once again, he exposed, through a protest, the stolen election of 2020. Join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We are so grateful that you inspired imperfect men, founding fathers, to put in a constitution our rights that we have from thee, O Father. We ask thee for a blessing on Jake Lang and our other brothers and sisters who are being persecuted as political prisoners in America for practicing their First Amendment rights. Father, our nation is under attack and has been for so long, but it is crushing the spirit of many. We ask thee, Father, for Jake Lang, for our brothers and sisters, that there will be a swift resolution, that your hand of providence and your blessing will uphold these brothers and sisters who are suffering under this evil demonic tyranny. In Jesus' name, amen. So there we have it. What are your thoughts? Do you feel positive like I do, given the line of questioning from Gorsuch and from the great Clarence Thomas? And what are your thoughts on the torture of our brother Jacob Lang, Edward Jacob Lang? By the way, to give you an update on what's happening with that, he's also filed a lawsuit against Attorney General Merrick Garland, and he describes the horrible prison abuse and torture he has suffered. Of course, Merrick Garland is part of this regime that is bringing this torture to him. And as Jim Hoff pointed out, where are the human rights groups? Where are the ACLU, Amnesty International, and Human Rights Watch? They are AWOL. They have abdicated their platform of fighting for human rights because they are on the wrong side. Mum's the word from those commie bastards. I'll be back. Thanks for being here. Until the next one, ciao, goodbye. God bless. This is James BCP signing off for now. Hold the line. I will be back.
We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.